Hey, welcome back to The Strong Her Way to Eat, Move, and Live. Here we talk all things food freedom, fitness, and life transformation. I'm your host, Alicia Carlson. It is so good to be here with you again today. How are you doing today? How's your week going? I hope it is going well for you. I hope that you are doing all the things to fill your cup and to really pour out in love and service to those around you. And if you're not, if it's not been such a good day or a good week yet, there is still plenty of time. Today, though, we are going to be talking about your weight and really kind of the truth about it. So this is something that I have become incredibly obsessed with trying to understand, partially because I have struggled with it for years, or I had struggled with my weight for years. And it is something that I see so many women and so many of my clients struggling with still to this day. And I see so much bad information or just misinformation out there that really isn't serving anybody. And in fact, I think it's actually kind of keeping us stuck. Now, this is definitely a complex issue. There's a lot of mental and emotional stuff that goes along with the physiology. So we're going to kind of unpack each of those things kind of on a higher level today, just to help you kind of get hopefully a little bit of a better understanding about your weight, and to perhaps give yourself a little bit of grace and compassion if you're not exactly at that quote unquote ideal weight or that weight that you think that you should be. Now, to kind of just give you a little bit of a recap on my own journey, maybe you'll find part of yourself in this story. I really struggled with my weight and I struggled with my body image starting back in middle school. I would say for me, it probably came to a peak in my early 20s. And looking back, I had an incredibly broken and disordered relationship with food, with exercise, with my body. I see a lot of this in people that have kind of the same or similar personalities as me, similar tendencies, kind of that type A, that go-getter. You might qualify yourself as being like super ambitious, just take charge. I'm an Enneagram 3, so I think that's the achiever. And I think one of the characteristics there is that they tend to be kind of outwardly focused or really focused on appearance. Now, of course, I have mixed feelings about all those different personality tests. I think that they can be great to kind of give us a little bit of insight, maybe on our tendencies and to help us understand ourselves a little bit better. But I think a mistake that a lot of people make is that they take those personality tests and then they really start to wear those things as their identity, which ironically, or perhaps not so much, was exactly what I was doing with my weight and my body and really trying to get it to look a certain way. Now, I grew up in a household that really prized thinness. And even if the women weren't exactly thin themselves, that was always kind of the goal. And I just remember there being a lot of conversation around weight and food and dieting and, you know, so-and-so gained weight and oh my gosh, you know, it was just kind of this big deal and something that was really kind of frowned upon. And I think I for sure internalized those messages to mean, you know, I can't gain weight. I can't be in a larger body. If I am, I won't belong. People, you know, I won't be beautiful. People won't love me. All of these different kinds of things. And then, you know, when you're out and you're looking into the world and you're looking at magazines and TV and all of these different things, you're kind of seeing the same bodies everywhere. I have to pause for a second because my Great Dane puppy, she's in here with me as I'm recording. And so if you hear some noise in the background, it's her. But anyway, you know, all of those messages are everywhere. And that hasn't changed. If anything, we have just become more and more bombarded with these different ideas and messages about what we should look like, but not only what we should look like, what our lives should look like as well through social media. And so seeing all of those messages, hearing those messages from my family, I really internalized this idea that being in a larger body or gaining weight was bad. It was something that was definitely frowned upon from like a social standpoint, but also more and more the messaging has become that weight gain of any kind is unhealthy or means that you're unhealthy, or being obese, you know, based on the BMI number is automatically an indicator of your unhealthiness as well. And, you know, that created in me a huge fear around gaining weight or being in a larger body because, number one, I didn't want to not be loved or to not be seen as beautiful, but also I didn't want to be seen as unhealthy or I didn't want to be unhealthy. And I think that that is still, you know, kind of that overarching message of diet culture. It's kind of has shifted away from, you know, beauty only looks a certain way to now, you know, it really is kind of attacking this idea that if you're in a larger body, or it's not attacking the idea that if you're in a larger body, it's kind of playing on our fear of being unhealthy and really tying that to your weight or to weight gain and to being in a larger body. So for myself, over these last few years, especially as I've kind of dived into more of the non-diet approach around food and exercise and just lifestyle behaviors, I've really been studying a couple different resources. And in fact, I'm rereading one of the books. It was the first book that I read when I was kind of coming out of the diet culture and the diet mindset. And it's the book Health at Every Size by Linda Bacon. And if you are familiar at all with the non-diet or the anti-diet space, Health at Every Size is also known as HAES, and it is one of the books that is most commonly referenced, I think. She does does include a lot of research studies, so I do appreciate that, because then I can flip through, I can find the research study on the internet, and then dive in and do kind of my own research and really kind of assess from, you know, my own perspective, my own experience, and things like that. So today we're going to just kind of dive into really the truth about your weight that's not necessarily talked about in the mainstream health, wellness, fitness space. And unfortunately, it's even bled into the healthcare space as well. So I think first and foremost, the thing that I want to address is that your health is not tied to the number on the scale. So really just let that sink in. The number that you see on the scale is not indicative necessarily of your health. Now, a caveat to this is that, you know, rapid weight gain or sudden weight gain without really any changes in your lifestyle or things like that could be a symptom of something else that's happening. But the weight gain in and of itself is not the health or the medical problem that needs to be addressed. So just know that. The second thing that I want to address is that bodies were created and made to be a variety of sizes, a variety of shapes, a variety of weights. And unfortunately, we were not privy to the information for that. And even people that are at the same height can also be a variety of weights. This is due to, you know, your genetic makeup. This is due to lifestyle factors of your mom while she was pregnant with you. This could be due to different environmental factors or toxins that you were exposed to maybe in utero or as a child. And then also just, you know, the different ethnic differences and just that variety of bone sizes and structures. So there are a lot of different factors that kind of go into play when it comes to our bodies. And just by natural design, there is diversity in all of that. So you can't even look at people from the same height and say that they should all weigh the certain same amount, because there are so many different factors that can come into play here. The third thing that I really want to address when it comes to our weight and to your weight is that there are a variety of factors that influence a person's weight, whether they gain weight, whether they lose weight, whether they can maintain a weight. And not all of those are really discussed when it comes to the topic of weight loss. Generally, when we are thinking of weight loss, we're thinking that we need to just automatically eat less. And oftentimes, unfortunately, I see way too low of calories or way too restricted in the amount of energy that people are consuming. And then they're over-exercising, ultimately just creating kind of this chaotic environment within their bodies. So their hormones are all out of whack. Their bodies are thinking that they're in starvation mode because they're not taking in enough energy for the amount of energy that they're exerting. And unfortunately, your body can't distinguish whether or not you're intentionally trying to restrict calories or if you're actually facing starvation. So it's almost like the more intense that you are restricting calories and exercising, the more you're actually working against yourself and you're sort of setting yourself up for failure, which I hate to use that word, but you're almost setting yourself up to trigger kind of this starvation and this freak out inside of your body. So some of the other factors that are generally not considered or talked about when people are thinking about losing weight or trying to lose weight, or, you know, maybe they just feel and they can just kind of tell, like, my body just doesn't feel right. Like, it just doesn't feel like it's at its healthy weight. And that's very different, and a very different idea than being at, you know, society's ideal weight, or maybe just some random number that you picked out of a hat, right? Some of those factors include your stress. If you are sleep deprived, if you are exposed on a regular basis to environmental toxins, what the environment was like for you as a baby inside of your mom's womb. So her decisions and the things that she was consuming or doing to her body do impact you. There is research out there that supports that that can be a determining factor, or one determining factor, in your weight as an adult. Other things like gut flora, so your gut health and the bacteria that's in your gut, that can also definitely play a part in kind of determining your weight. And then, of course, there are the genetic factors. So those are things that are outside of your control, no matter what you're doing. And then last but definitely not least is your consistent lifestyle behaviors and choices. So there are just a wide variety of factors when it comes into play. And oftentimes, unfortunately, the thing that I see is that people are just wanting to look at the nutrition aspect, so the food and the exercise. And oftentimes it just comes down to the calories, right? It's like, well, I just might need to eat less, or I just might need to exercise more. And unfortunately, that's even the advice oftentimes that they're getting when they visit the doctor, instead of really taking a step back and looking at the whole picture, right? So it's considering that we don't exactly know the weight that we're supposed to be, right? There's this variety, or there's kind of this set point range that our bodies could be at any given moment. And that could change in different seasons of life. That could change with different lifestyle behaviors and habits. We just really have no idea. And so I think a big part of it is just understanding that, you know, the ideal weight that you think that you should be, or that society is telling you that you should be, or that even the chart at the doctor is telling you to be, may or may not be completely accurate for you. It's also okay for your weight to kind of fluctuate and sort of flex between some different weights depending on your life and what's happening, right? So if stress is higher, then, you know, certain things in your life may be kind of going sideways, or hormonally things might be different. And so unfortunately, we're just kind of getting this bad advice that we just need to probably watch what we're eating and exercise more. And that's really unfortunate, because it's not taking into consideration that whole picture of you, of your lifestyle. And we oftentimes can end up missing some other things that are really happening. Now, like I alluded to earlier, oftentimes, you know, that weight gain the weight gain really is more of a symptom of something else that's potentially happening. So if you take 2020 and the year of the global pandemic, a lot of people I saw on Facebook, or a lot of my clients, you know, were coming to me and they had gained weight over that year. And the reality is that it was an incredibly stressful, crazy, chaotic, sideways year for everybody. Lifestyles were radically changed. There was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknown. And so while people are thinking that gaining, you know, the 10, 15, 20 pounds is the problem, really, we need to kind of back up and we need to look at, okay, what was really the whole picture that was happening? And that 10, 15, 20 pound weight gain was really more of a symptom of maybe stress levels. Maybe you're not sleeping well. Maybe you're not coping with stress well, like you're using food, you're not exercising or moving as much. So there are a lot of different factors that are happening there. It could have been like the mental and the emotional, the ways that you were choosing to handle and work through stress, right? So it's like, if we just were to kind of look at, you know, okay, let's tackle the symptom, let's tackle that weight gain, we're missing out on a big picture of what else is kind of happening. What's the root cause that's happening in your life? And if we don't tackle that, if we don't really start to understand, you know, well, why did you gain that weight and how did you gain that weight? the next time that a stressful event happens or life gets out of whack and is thrown off track, then you're going to be relying on those same kind of coping mechanisms, those same kind of skills. You're maybe not going to be able to manage your stress as well. And so you're just going to maybe find yourself in that same position again. So when I'm working with somebody and one of their goals is weight loss, we really want to take a step back and kind of look at that whole picture. So we're looking at, you know, what's the sleep like? What's the hydration like? What's, you know, how are you currently coping with stress? And how do you, you know, what do you tend to do when life is going crazy? What do your exercise and your nutrition habits look like? All of these different kinds of things. And then we also need to really work to kind of address sort of that mental and the emotional aspect of it as well. As women, we have so much wrapped up into the number on the scale, right? A lot of times our worth and our value and just a big part of our identity can be wrapped up into that. And so if we don't also kind of address that emotional attachment that we have to the scale and the number, then we're doing ourselves a big disservice, because chances are, even if you were to lose the weight, you're still going to have all of those same kinds of thoughts and feelings about yourself. We think that it's the weight gain that is causing us to feel a certain way about ourselves. And so we think that if we lose the weight, then automatically we're going to feel better about ourselves. But the reality is that we're not. Like, losing weight is a complete neutral circumstance, and that cannot change the way that you feel about yourself, right? So it's really important that we also kind of look at and address, what are you attaching to the number on the scale currently? What are you thinking that you're going to think about yourself at a smaller weight? And then really addressing that as well. So, like I said, there are so many different factors that go into what kind of create your weight now, and that what could potentially cause or create weight gain, right? And I think that a big fallacy in kind of attaching our health to the number on the scale is that we have people that are going through and doing some pretty crazy things just to lose weight that aren't necessarily improving their health, right? So you could have somebody that is really displaying kind of those eating disorder tendencies and losing weight, but, you know, we wouldn't say that that's necessarily healthy. However, unfortunately, we have people that are displaying the same or very similar behaviors around food and exercise as somebody with a diagnosed eating disorder, and they're getting praised for their weight loss, even if inside, you know, mentally and emotionally, they're falling apart, they're hurting, they're broken, they're crumbling inside. That external praise for the weight loss just keeps reinforcing that, you know, that, I don't know if I want to say that negative behavior, but it keeps reinforcing that unhealthy behavior around food and exercise in their body. So I think just the more that we can work to just kind of eradicate this idea that our health is tied to our weight, or that our worth and our value as women is tied to our weight, the more that we can really just kind of look at making those changes or those tweaks to our lifestyle, to our behaviors on a consistent basis, and really trust and know that we are being healthy, we are, you know, doing the healthy things for our bodies, regardless of how much the scale does or doesn't move. And once we really learn to kind of address those mental and emotional issues that we have in the way that we're viewing ourselves, then we can really release the attachment that we have to the number, right? So we really want to understand, like, what we're making that number mean about ourselves, and what we think that being in a smaller body or at a smaller number would provide for us. And then we want to get to work kind of creating that for ourselves, no matter what the scale says about us or not. And ironically, the less that we are focusing on the weight, the more that we're shifting to taking care of ourselves from that physical place of, like, moving our bodies or feeding it more nourishing foods and all of those kinds of things. And the less that we are so obsessed about that number, our bodies just tend to kind of take care of us and naturally settle into the weight, or, you know, that weight range that it is going to thrive at. And, you know, unfortunately, that feels a little bit kind of out of our control, but there is so much of it that is within your control. It's, you know, those daily choices that you're making day in and day out. It's, you know, prioritizing, you know, those whole nutritious foods over the processed foods. It's moving your body in a way that feels enjoyable and pleasurable to you. It's spending time with your loved ones. It's having those, you know, healthy stress coping mechanisms and things like that, and not using food or alcohol or numbing out on TV or social media or different things like that. So there is so much that is within your control that can, you know, potentially impact your weight, but will most definitely change the way that you feel inside your body, the way that you feel about your body, and your overall health. So I hope that this was helpful for you and just kind of unpacking a little bit of the truth about your weight that is oftentimes not talked about. Now, of course, if you have those different weight loss goals, I am not judging you. I have no shame or no shade to throw your way about that. I would just really invite you to explore, you know, why do you want that weight loss goal in the first place? And really, you know, what are you making the current number on the scale mean about yourself? Versus what do you think that you would be making it mean about you if you were at a smaller body? And whatever it is that comes up for you, that is really the work to dive into and explore. Otherwise, just keep focusing on making those healthy daily habits a part of your everyday lifestyle, and you will find yourself in that healthy, strong, vibrant, thriving body that you have always wanted. I hope that this episode was helpful for you. I hope you have a great rest of your day and a good week. And of course, if you are ready to dive in and take this work deeper, I want to invite you to come and work with me. You can get a hold of me by emailing alicia@aliciacarlson.com or connecting with me on social media. I'll have all of those links in the show notes below. This work, this non-diet work, will absolutely change your life. It has radically changed my life and the lives of all of my clients, and I cannot wait for you to be next. So if you're ready to take the plunge, let's do this. Have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you again soon.